Hey cuties, this is Deidre C.
Hey cuties, it's J. Nicole.
And welcome to the Queen Team Podcast.
A place to cultivate your queendom.
Hey cuties. Hey J. Nicole.
Hi. It is me.
It has been so long, it feels like, since we got to sit down with these mics. How are things going? How are you?
I don't know. I feel weird.
She had a beard and it felt weird. Why do you feel weird? Tell me a little bit more about that.
I don't know. Like, we haven't sat down in so long. Like, I'm not flowing with it yet.
Yeah, that's okay.
Maybe you can just cut this part out. Remember how in the beginning
we would have to, I'm going to turn the fan off. I'm a little chilly.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Just kind of let it go. Kind of loosen up and be with the mic. Yes. Yes. Yes.
So, but I'm feeling good. I think you and I are both tired. We've been on vacation, but we have not been on vacation.
We've been doing other work in our other lives. Yes. Agreed. Oh my goodness. I'm coming out of that vacation vibe. I keep on telling people I came back from vacation and then I came back and I hit the ground with my face.
Right. You didn't hit the ground running.
No.
You hit the ground face planting.
It was.
Wow. I could just imagine and like see it in slow motion, like do, 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 do. Yeah, so is life.
Yes. No, definitely. Definitely. Oh, goodness. A friend that I met with this morning, I was just telling her a little bit about my experience. She's like, sadness has been stalking you.
Yikes.
And you've been just trying to run faster.
Yeah.
And she totally hit the nail on the head because I am in a place where I know I'm being called to grieve, to let go, to be in my emotions. And it is just part of my personality to not want to be in that right now, or not want to be in it ever. Let me be honest. I never want to be like, come on, sadness, let's do this.
Yeah.
And then she also helped me to reframe it. She's like, maybe you didn't feel like you were in a safe enough space, you know, while you're on vacation.
Yeah.
Because you're on vacation, you're supposed to have fun. But then I also had the children with me and it was really awesome to see tons of people and grandparents and all of those things. And in an effort to stay present to that, I didn't create a lot of space, nor was there a lot of space to work with these feelings. So I'm like, okay, well, maybe instead of just really trying to outrun them, I was also like a little self-preservation, a little self-protection as well, to really be with this. And I feel like this invitation is one that I'm like, no, I'm not quite ready yet. But now I'm putting my party dress on. my sad party dress on, and
your black party dress. No, gray.
Yeah.
Your gray party dress.
My gosh. And I'm like, okay, well, let's just do this already.
Yeah.
Welcome feelings. Welcome all of them.
Right.
We'll talk a little bit more about what that really means, like the practical way that I'm coping with them during our Queen's Chambers. But it has been interesting because now I just feel like I'm clawing at the air, listeners, but I feel like I am just clawing, literally, like clawing up the walls in order to kind of not necessarily get away from it, but try to move to the next step.
Yeah.
And it's a yucky place to be in, but I know that it has to be done in order for me to get to the other side.
Right.
There's no getting to the sunshine without going through this dark valley.
The thing is that what I've come to know about life is God always presents us with opportunities to build our character.
Right.
And trying to run from it, it just only prolongs the process.
Exactly.
And then when we get into that process, it's usually not as long or as bad as we think.
Yeah.
So you just spent, and I do it, you know, this just in life in general, in practical ways, not just with my emotions or my spirituality, like, okay, I have this paper to write. Thank God I graduate. I'm not in school anymore. I'm not taking any more trainings right now.
Right now.
Handmaid. We're going to give a Handmaid's Tale praise be. Okay. And say that, you know, now that I'm done with that, but when I was in it, it was like, okay, I have this paper due and I feel so overwhelmed. I feel daunted. And I'm just going to do something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then when I sit down to get to work, it's like, why was I tripping?
Exactly.
So
I have several examples just like that.
Yeah.
And it just either doesn't turn out as bad as you think it will be, or you move through it differently.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And then there's the grace. There's the grace that God gives you. Like, God knows you have to go through the season, right?
Right.
So it's like, I'm not going to leave you alone in your most vulnerable time. You're going to have all of the protection, all of the assistance that you need to get through that stage. So embrace it.
Exactly. I am trying.
Yeah.
And I'm really trying to do things to put, I'm trying to put things in place to care for myself.
Yeah.
And a quote that I heard a long time ago, self-care isn't necessarily to fix the problem. It's there to help you feel a little bit better as you're moving through your issues. So
coping.
Yeah. It's just another way to cope. So feeding myself good food. Exercise, which I'm so hesitant to say. I'm like, oh, I should probably get on my yoga mat because that's something that always brings me more peace. I should take a walk around my neighborhood because that also always helps to calm me down too. I don't know. All I want to do is like crawl up in my bed and put the covers over my head for like the next 7 days. But I really don't have that luxury. And just forging through with the things that I have to do and really not taking time for self, it's also been proven to me in my own like personal experience, that's not helpful either. And more people suffer because I'm not coping well.
Right.
So one of the main things I did was reach out to people in my community. But like I said, we'll talk about that more in the Queen's Chambers.
Yeah.
But I am. I'm grateful to be in this space. If this was even, I don't know, 3 years ago, I'd put my fingers in my ears and be la, 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 this is not happening.
Right.
I'm just going to keep on running. What do you mean? I'm invisible. Sad. What are you talking about?
And then you end up in the hospital. I make an emotional breakdown.
Right. I make everybody else's lives very miserable.
Yeah.
You know, especially my poor children who are just like, why are you flipping off
at
this tiny little thing that, you know, I do all the time.
Yeah. Totally.
So it's okay, but what about you? You've been lots of changes.
I've actually
June has been an amazing month.
I have made it through my sad time, and I think I still have some sad days and some hard days.
Yeah.
I don't think that when you go through a divorce, it's like a death.
It is a death. It's like, not like a death. It is a death.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, like, my husband is still alive, but he's dead at the same time. And that's a different kind of death. No. Like, at least you have some closure. You know what I mean? When someone dies, they go to heaven, or if you believe in that or whatever.
Right.
And they're gone. But it's like, this person is still
alive
and well.
No.
But you're dead to me.
But I tell people.
It's hurtful.
I tell people when they get married, it's not just your spouse, but you're nurturing this baby. And the baby is a marriage.
Yeah.
And that is a living, breathing entity unto itself. Like, how are you going to rear and grow that?
Yeah.
So that you can, that stays healthy, so that you can stay in relationship with this person.
Yeah.
So when a divorce happens, a marriage is dead.
Yeah.
And that was a living, breathing entity that you killed.
Yeah.
It's not.
I didn't kill that. I didn't kill that baby. The baby died. The baby died.
The baby died, right.
He had SIDS.
Right. But like, yeah, exactly.
We shouldn't joke about that.
This is true. But it's something that when it's neglected, it will fall to the wayside. And both parties have to nurture that relationship for it to stay healthy.
Yeah.
And so when, like, it doesn't die, marriage doesn't die when the papers are signed. But that's sort of the finality and sort of the closure, just like a person dies before the funeral.
Yeah.
You know? That's why I personally think that we need ceremony for all transitions and all thresholds. And, you know, with this conscious choice of me moving into and embracing the sadness, a beautiful friend of mine created a little ceremony for me this morning, and I walked a labyrinth and little candle, and we have some essential oils, and just inviting me into this season and listening, you know, listening to myself, listening to God, listening for love. And we don't do that enough to give ourselves not just the grace and the space and the love, but even mark it with a little a little, okay, now you're doing this. You're moving into this season, or this is whatever. And I think ceremony, and I think we should have like a whole series on ceremony. I love ceremony. But ceremony is so important to help mark these times. Yes. And so I think like people even should have divorce ceremonies. Like you have a wedding ceremony.
Yeah.
You know, we have rituals around when our babies are born. Whether it's through our churches or something within our cultures, we have obviously we have funerals and graduations. And so those are more widely accepted.
Right. But I think people are used to only gathering and bringing attention to or celebrating the bad times. Right. And they feel like, well, I shouldn't celebrate my divorce. It's not a celebration.
No, it is
giving and honoring this time and giving yourself permission to feel sad, to grieve, to feel whatever you're going to feel and go through that process
exactly
to move forward with your life. So I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. But what's been going on with me is, this has been epic summer. I've been claiming like epic summer since like May. I'm like, the summer's going to be epic.
Girl, since February. I feel like you've been talking about how amazing it's going to be for a long time, even before you graduated.
So. Yeah, you're right. You're right. But this year has been epic. It's like this whole year has been amazing.
Yes.
I remember in March I wanted to have a get together with all the women and kind of have like a gathering like how we had the red tent.
Yes.
And that didn't work out. And I was like, I'm not going to, you know, lose my head about it. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to keep going and foraging on. And then we had a red tent.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I have graduated. I graduated in March with my bachelor's in nutrition.
Yay.
Then I got my doula certification.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm a doula.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also got my lactation educator counselor. And I got a job.
Dun, dun, dun.
At an amazing...
I'm so excited for you.
I got a job at the amazing hospital, Loma Linda University Medical Center.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing this clap at home. I'm like, I work at Loma Linda University Children's Hospital. And me and my mom have just been laughing and laughing. But I work at the Children's Hospital as a perinatal health specialist.
So fancy.
It is.
It's a fancy title.
Teaching childbirth education classes and breastfeeding classes, breastfeeding support group and nutrition, just working with women in the community. And this is what I've been dreaming of for so long and wanting to do this work.
Mm-hmm.
And so together that with my doula work, I just feel like I'm running full steam ahead, with working with women. And of course, like I still have my support group for women who have gone through abusive relationships.
Yes.
But I have even gone in there and said, hey, I'm having a rough day.
Yes.
You know, I'm having a hard time. I am grieving. Like I admitted, like I am grieving.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think the women were really receptive to saying, hey, like, calm down. Like, you know what I mean? Like
exactly.
You're supposed to be grieving.
Yes.
So, you know, going back, you know, to what you were talking about earlier, this is a life full of highs and lows and ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the lows don't stop me, but it's still a part that we need to deal with.
Yes.
And I feel like we haven't been dealing with our lows very well as a community. I feel like we've been dealing with our lows individually. And I don't know where we got this idea that we should have to deal. We can celebrate with in public, but we only grieve and deal with our crap in private.
Yeah.
And then people get surprised that you are going through stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've got to come to a place where we're more open about what we're really going through.
Mm-hmm.
And at least to a small group of people,
Hey,
you don't have to get a podcast and broadcast your crap, you know, all over the world. Like I have, you don't have to do what I did, but you know, get yourself a tribe. And that's what we're going to talk about today in the Queen's Chamber, the Good Vibe Tribe. You need one. Let's get one. Let's go. Let's talk about it.
Welcome to the Queen's Chambers. And like Janisha said, we are going to talk about the Good Vibe Tribe. Ages ago, way before we had such an industrialized world. And even in the beginning, when we did have in the beginning of industrialization, we did not live very far from our families. Our community probably existed of not just our parents, but maybe aunts and uncles and cousins. And if you needed something, you could tap into your community. You lived either in the same place, whether it was like a compound, or if we go back further to biblical times, in like the same village, or you had your tents together on this massive piece of land where you farm all your animals. Community is not a new idea. And really, that's kind of the roots that we've come from. And if we travel around the world, other cultures are still abiding by these principles, utilizing their family within their villages for support. And Janisha and I have talked several times.
Yeah, many times.
Oh my goodness. About dreaming about community, what that looks like for us personally, what could that look like in where we live, within the culture that we live in, how we make that real. We wanted to share those things, some of those ideas and musings with right here in this space on the Queen Team, because there is no way we were meant to do this life by ourselves.
Yeah.
Not for one minute were we meant to take on trials and challenges, joys and excitement all by ourselves.
Right.
I just feel like there is no way we can live life to the fullest without being able to celebrate with somebody.
And I feel like that's where a lot of judgment comes in, where you don't really know someone's story and you're comparing your life to theirs because you see it through a screen.
Right.
And if you really could see the full picture, if you could really zoom out on someone's life, then there really would be nothing to be jealous of or envious of, because that person has gone through a process. Like, all of this that is happening now to me, the good stuff, is a result of a fire that has gone on in my life. My whole life was on fire. I lost everything.
Yeah.
And so, okay, do you want that? You might see the success that I have now, but maybe you didn't see the fire that I went through to get there.
Mm-hmm.
The suicidal thoughts, the craziness that went on in my mind, the bad days that I had with my kids screaming at them at the top of my lungs, that I know a lot of you have probably dealt with too.
Yeah.
And so that's the result of trying to do all of this alone. We are dealing with terrible mental health issues in our community, lack of resources. Childcare is affected. You know, you want to go out there and get that great job or even just be able to provide for your family. But what about childcare? There's so many different things that are missing because we don't have this community. The mom guilt, poverty is a huge one that we're all dealing with in our community because we're trying to do this by ourselves.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Oh, agreed. And I feel like there's so many things that I want to say on all of those things.
Yeah.
But we really, if we can rally around one another, if we have to remember that we're not on our own, all of these things are going to help us to move towards improvement. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about the downside of it too during our discussion today. But I feel like there's so many benefits, and the way that our culture is where we seclude ourselves. We get into relationships and either we move in with a partner or we move away from our immediate families. That might be, it's great to know and learn other places and spaces. And of course we have to do what we need to do in order to make that dollar, at least in the way that our culture is now. You know, I was talking to a person, like, let's take a little tangent, talking to a friend this morning, how everything seems to be motivated by money and power.
Yeah.
And this is in direct opposition to connecting and building relationship.
Right.
And finding that deep understanding that you're accepted and that you're loved.
Right.
And like, why? And so it's really hard because it's hard to move in this world, especially in this country, without financial resources. But like, to have to leave your whole community behind to do that. What does that look like, building a new community? What does that look like moving into a new area and then finding that to surround yourself with love and support? So,
right. But I think the things that we need most as humans, aside from our survival needs like shelter, food, etc.
Yeah.
Those other needs that we have are all met by community.
Yeah.
But we run from that to chase this one thing that we feel like we need to go out and get this job or have this career in order to pay our bills.
Right.
But if you really think about it, most of the stuff that we, and I'm putting quotation mark, need to survive, we don't need. Technically, you could go live in your van.
Right.
That's just not socially accepted. You will live, you will be fine. But if you had a moment where you're like, I don't want to have this crazy stress, I want to go live in my van. I'm not saying it's for everyone. I'm not encouraging anyone to like go live in your van. But it's like, if your marriage is about to you know, die or you're about to lose your house, choose your marriage.
Right, exactly. Because relationships are so much more important.
Go get a trailer. What are those things called?
A tiny house or RV.
RV, thank you. An mm-hmm. RV, you know, so you can have some plumbing and take a shower. You know what I mean? A van doesn't have a shower. and tough it out for a couple of years while you get back on your feet. I have seen a couple of people on YouTube make it happen like that. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know what? The husband was like, I lost my job. I lost everything. We were just in a bad place. We were RVing it for a while. And now they were able to buy their own property. Mm-hmm. But he kept his family together.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I feel like this idea that we have in America that we need this house, and especially in the Black community. I was talking to a woman today and she said that we're motivated by status and monetary things are what motivate us in our community. Mm-hmm. And it's killing us.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's killing us. We have to change our focus.
Yeah.
And get back to self, God, and one another.
Yeah.
And not necessarily in that order.
Right. Oh, so important. So important. So, so welcome to our discussion on community and what that looks like. So even in our own lives, we have come across the need just by being friends and, and experiences that we've had together, like our most recent, we talked a little bit in our last episode about the training that we attended in Portland, which was mind-blowing. But in that circumstance, while we were there, we decided to get an Airbnb with another one of my colleagues. And she's also a doula and was going to this training. Actually, she was the one who invited me to come. And I'm like, okay, Janisha, you come too.
Yes, I'm there.
Yeah, so we rented a little house together and we'd commute daily to the training. It was great to have people to bounce the ideas off of, to talk more about the topics that we learned in the workshop and do some of the homework together. But some of our times together that were most valuable were outside of even that workshop talk, right?
Yeah. I mean, we were able to go to the store and cook together.
Yeah.
And I remember on my last night there, Deidre, you had already left mm-hmm. and me and Angelique stayed on another day. And I had to take you to the airport, which was pretty far from where we were, and then drive all the way back in traffic. And so by the time I got there, I was just like, okay, I stopped and got a pizza. But we had made stuff for a salad. And I was just like, oh, I hope that she cut up them vegetables. And when I got there, all the vegetables were all lined up looking pretty and beautiful for our, you know, salad. And it was just like, wow, I wish I could have this all the time where somebody can anticipate what I need because they know me and they know what needs to be done. And everybody's kind of doing their job to pull their weight around the house.
Right. Or even they just see it needs to be done. They do it without complaining or like passing it by or that wasn't my responsibility.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And then that one day I had washed the dishes and you were guys like, whoa, I'm so glad you washed the dishes because I didn't feel like it. But I was fine and I didn't mind it.
Exactly.
You know, and I feel like that's the benefit of living in the community. Yeah, there's going to be negatives. You might fight or you might have disagreements about money or, you know, things like that. But those things can be worked out. Being able to have some people there who are like, hey, I'll pick up the slack in this area. You'll pick up the slack. And you think about the weight of all the things that you have to do mm-hmm. is taken off of you.
Yes.
You know,
it's not all in one person.
It's not all in one person.
And even just what you're saying, even that you felt like you could do it. You had the energy to wash the dishes, but then like receiving that gratitude afterwards. Yeah,
absolutely.
That's also
right.
That's also something that when you're doing it on your own,
right.
It's easy to forget, even if you just have maybe one partner, like you take each other for granted. Yeah. And, you know, our time together, although it was incredible, it was also pretty intense, not just the knowledge we were putting in our heads, but the experiences we were all having in our hearts.
Yeah.
And, you know, I saw that it was taking a toll on all of us.
Yeah.
And so like, I was like, okay, well, it's time for back rubs. Back rubs tonight.
Right.
Kind of de-stress a little bit and have this physical component to minimize. But like after I was done giving back rubs, I'm like, okay, it's my turn. Somebody rub my back.
Right.
And that was lovely to be able to not just give, but also to receive that as well because community.
Yeah. Right. And I was saying, and I'm going to be intimate here. That was like the first time I had been touched by another adult in years.
Yeah.
Like I give my mom hugs sometimes because we live together, but like to actually like have somebody rub on you and like touch on you with love and caring and concern. Mm-hmm. And we were doing it in our class too, because we were being taught how to do prenatal massage or just,
yeah,
they call it lay hands because you can't really call it massage.
Exactly.
But she was teaching us how to do that. And I had really thought, like, I haven't been really truly hugged or like touched by somebody in years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, this is doing something for my spirit. Like, we need this.
Oh, we totally need this. I mean, you know? I'm sure research will also prove that you need that.
Yeah.
Because it's an oxytocin release and that's part of helping keep us healthy.
Right.
But I feel like always things like that for me, those kinds of retreats or whatever, they tend to be very nourishing all around, not just on that knowledge-based level, but to my spirit and to my body as well. Yes. So there was also an experience during our vacation or during my vacation where you called me out of the blue.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you wanted me to talk to your little girl.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that?
Alana had been on her Kindle Fire, I think it's called. And she had been looking at some, you know, stuff that was inappropriate for her age. And I didn't freak out or anything like that on her because I feel like I don't want my daughter to feel afraid to come and talk to me. So I talked to her calmly and I was like, you're not in trouble. But I said, if you want to, if you're curious, then you need to come talk to me and you need to have somebody safe that you can talk to about it, even if it's not me.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, I need to get somebody else involved because she was feeling really, really embarrassed.
Yeah.
And so I called Deidre up. I called you up and I said, hey, you know, this is what's going on. Can you talk to her? I allowed you to step in because I know that I can't give my kid everything that they need.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm letting that go now. If she needs something and she can't get it from me, I don't take it personal.
Right, right.
You know, there's only so much that I can do because I have a perspective. I have a life experience. I have a knowledge that you don't have and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So finding somebody that I could trust who I know who's in the same vein of my values.
Right.
Okay, so now can you please talk and give my daughter another perspective, another safe space. If she doesn't feel like she can talk to me, then she can talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you're going to have my back. And I know that, like I said, you and I have a similar mindset on what parenting is and what it should and shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so comforting to know that I had that. And I asked Alana after you guys got off the phone, I said, at first she was really upset. She was like, why did you do that? You know, when I was handing her the phone, but then when she was done and I was like, how did that feel? And she's like, it felt good. And I think she was kind of surprised like that. Mm-hmm. I will let you get involved. And you were surprised too, weren't you?
I was surprised. I felt like, ooh, I feel so honored. Like, wow. Okay. I'm really somebody's auntie. Like I feel like I'm the first out of my friends. That's actually not true. I'm not the first out of one group of friends, but I'm the first out of like the friends that I would do like this with,
uh-huh,
to have kids.
Yeah.
And to like ask, like they don't have kids to ask me to do this. And mm-hmm. so, and then we've been friends now for however long it's been. And so, that kind of, it really did, it took me aback, but not in a bad way. I'm like, oh, I feel so special. And so that it also makes me more mindful because I have talked to like a lot of my friends who don't have kids. Like I've encouraged them to do it with my kids, the same thing, you know, and just we got to create space for that. You know, that's one thing that I'm willing to do. But I think I felt really cool because nobody's ever asked me to do that before for their kids. So it's really cool.
Well, you know, I trust you and I feel like that's the point. You have to find somebody else who it can be your tribe, can be your support system because I'm not going to be able to do everything.
Yeah, no way. There's absolutely no way. And I feel like this is kind of where that mom guilt comes in, is that we think we can provide it all, or we really hope we can, or we put that expectation on ourselves that we will provide the end all be all for these kids. But there is no way we can be everything. And really, if we try, it's to our detriment and to their detriment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they don't see us living in our purpose if we've made our children our purpose.
Yeah.
And then it's burned out on us and we get all like swirly in our minds. Oh, I didn't do this and I didn't do this and I should have done that. And that's hard too. Yeah. So even like, you know, we mentioned a little bit about the travel piece last week and how that was kind of, you know, it was hard from when we traveled to Portland.
Yeah.
That was only to benefit you because you can benefit them better.
Right.
And because you're living in your purpose. Right. So.
But I still feel bad about it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. But then you had a community to come surround you.
Right. And I did to pull me out. And I think that's something else too that, you know, hitting on is this mental health piece.
Yeah.
When I was there in Portland, I had a day where I was just feeling, I can't really even describe it, but I was just feeling really overwhelmed by whatever it is that I was feeling that I really can't identify.
Yeah.
It was like a mix of good and bad all at the same time.
Yeah.
The future before me, the old self that I'm leaving behind,
yeah,
kind of merging and clashing all together, yeah, and creating this like energy. And I was feeling such strong energy while I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was just, after that, I think second day of training, I just like had to lay down. And you and Angelique came, talked to me, gave me a little back rub, and were like, go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I had that permission to go to bed and take care of myself. And I feel like if we had that in real life every day to say, hey, today is going to be a crap day,
yeah,
where I don't know what's going on with me,
right,
or I'm feeling sad or angry, right, even if you are able to identify, can you please take my kids?
Mm-hmm.
Can you please cook for me? Or can you please bring over a meal,
yeah,
or whatever? Having some people around you who you can, number one, feel safe to express that to, and then number two, they can help you and do something about it.
Exactly. Or even help you reshift your focus.
Yeah.
And so like with this sadness that I've chosen to move into, or this, it's really grief that I'm choosing to experience right now. Like I called a friend yesterday and I felt it coming on. And at the end of last week, I'm like, I just need to get through this week before I can work with it. And I tell my kids all the time, if you aren't aware of your feelings and you're not doing your best to manage them, they're going to come out in other ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what was happening to me last week. I'm like, you can't find your bathing suit. What do you mean? And I started getting nuts. And so I sensed it was coming on. So I talked to this one friend. I told her, and she's always been encouraging me, encouraging about helping me turn towards and move into these feelings, into the deep feelings. And she's like, I told her, I don't know what is going to come of this, but I feel like I'm sliding down a slippery slope.
Mm-hmm.
And I could feel like depression coming on. And she's like, we don't know what this week is going to bring, but you're doing a great job trying to solicit help to move through it. And so I talked to her, and then I texted three other people, and I just asked them, would you be willing to check on me this week? I'm feeling this grief come on. I want to put some preventative measures in place just in case I find myself struggling as I wade through all these emotions. And the three people that I texted, they were like, of course we'll check on you. You know, like, I don't care. It could be a phone call. It could be just a text message. I knew we were going to be visiting today, so I kind of had that in place. And, like, you know, one person's like, come on over. Come to my house tonight. Because I already felt the temptation to fall into my habits, and they're actually real habits. Like in the past, what I would have done, I would have run so hard. I wouldn't have known when I fell.
Right.
I would have been in it. I would have been feeding myself crap food. I would be like, only wallowing my bed. I would be listening to super sappy, sad music, which I feel like some of that is healing, just to give yourself that time and that space. But I know that I don't need to push harder to run away from it, but I also don't need to like kick myself while I'm down either.
Right.
And I feel like when I don't reach out, because I would withdraw, I would talk to nobody.
Yeah.
I would, as much as I could, put those covers over my head. And I feel like there is that fine line of moving in a healthy way through this.
Right.
And then also not running from it. Right. That's another way that I've just decided to reach out to acquaint my community to help support me through this.
Right.
Because there's like no way that I want to or can make this happen on its own.
Yeah. And the thing is that for you, your destructive behavior is like going into turtle mode, where you just go into your shell,
yeah,
and you shut everyone off.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that do that, but there's other people who deal with addiction.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
And so they go into drinking or gambling or
drugs or smoking or whatever.
Or whatever. Compulsive shopping.
Yeah.
Eating
sugar, whatever,
all of that stuff. And so that's what I mean by this community and mental health piece. Imagine if you had, you know, some other women living with you,
mm-hmm,
who saw like, you ain't taking a shower, your room is a little ripe, what's going on in here, baby girl? Like,
yeah,
I know we're all busy, we're all working, we all taking care of our kids or whatever. And I'm not saying you have to live in the same house, but
right,
if you were to have like a community where you live on the same block, or,
mm-hmm,
you know, if you did like how we want to do and get like a big piece of land, like a little house on the prairie, and everyone have their, you know, little, you know, cabin, tiny houses, you know, but all of that would, all of those women and all of those people who love you would be there to be like, hey,
right,
and before you go into a week of like, you know how they show on the movies where somebody just has a breakup, mm-hmm. or, you know, somebody passes away and they're alone.
Mm, right. You walk into their house. It's just like,
and it's like trash. It's just like crap everywhere. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, before we get there, we have some people in our lives to say, you need something help. You need some help. You need something.
Well, the thing is, nobody's going to know that.
Right.
If they're not seeing you on a regular basis, if they're not interacting with you on a regular basis, which again is another benefit of community. And this kind of goes into, you know, we've talked super briefly, and we super promise, have some episodes on birth disparities.
Yeah.
But this goes into what we actually learned as part of our training. And with the birth disparity issue, if as a doula coming frequently to a woman's home, knowing that woman, hearing what her voice sounds like when she's happy, hearing what her voice sounds like when she's not happy, you can sense when things shift.
Yeah.
And that's the same regardless of what's going on in your life. If you're constantly connecting with these people, then they can signal you, or they can see something or hear something, or they know you enough when something's just off.
Yeah.
And if you have, if one has the mindset and the openness to be vulnerable, then you can ask. You know, you don't feel like, well, that's none of my business. I'm going to stay there.
Yeah, but it is my business. Like, I'm so tired of people saying, well, it's none of my business, child. And I'm not going to get involved in this, this, and that.
Right.
I mean, like, okay, you've got two components there. You've got the person who's going through the stuff.
Right.
Who is going to be possibly be resistant or offended when you put a mirror in front of them.
Right.
But then you've got the person who's concerned, and but they can't express their concern because they're afraid to get their head bitten off. Somebody's going to have to be uncomfortable here.
And that's what we run from as a culture. We don't want, nobody wants to be uncomfortable. You want that happy 0.3 seconds of a photo for Instagram.
Right.
Yay.
Somebody but then when somebody commits suicide, or somebody hurts their baby, no lie, somebody posted, and I think, I don't remember who it was, but they posted on my Facebook about a couple who was sexually and physically abusing their two small children. I kept scrolling. I can't read articles like that, but I know that somebody in their community or in their family, their friends probably had an inclination that something wasn't quite right.
Right.
And they just didn't say anything.
My God.
Yeah. We have to say something.
Yes,
you have something, to be able something. To say, look, girl, you are tripping right now.
Right.
Or you look sad right now. Or you haven't been yourself lately. And when you came to my house today, before we even started talking about this, what'd I say? I said, what's up with you?
Yes, it's true.
I said, you've been weird and distant. And I said, what's going on? And you were able to say, you know what? And I'm having a sad moment. And I'm like, that's fine. We don't even have to talk about it. But I'm here for you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here for you. And it wasn't to call you on it to say you're a bad person. No. Or it wasn't about me. And I think that's something, when you're going to somebody, go to them with the, I love you and I want you to be okay. Not with, I want to know your business.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people are afraid of that. And I think
people will know the difference.
They will know the difference.
People will know the difference.
You know, all of that that you just said, you know, being uncomfortable, speaking up, you know, there's that phrase, silence is violence.
Yeah.
But I it's in my queue, and I'm trying to make a date to see this. Maybe we should go to see it together. The Whitney movie. Have you heard about that? It's a documentary, a new documentary that came out about Whitney Houston. Everybody's like, it's amazing. It's blowing me away. And what the biggest takeaway is, when you see something a little off, speak on it.
Yeah, say something.
And so I'm like, now I feel like I really want to see it.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like people in her community didn't.
Right.
And it costed her. I'm the assumption that I'm making, this is not a spoiler alert because I haven't seen the movie. The assumption that I'm making is this what, you know, ended up leading to her ultimate demise.
The thing is, listen, folks, this is just the truth here, and you might lose a friend. That I'm gonna put this in quotation mark, a friend. If you see your girlfriend and she is not acting herself, or she's got something going on, and you feel compelled to say something, and that breaks up your friendship, then y'all weren't really friends.
This is true.
Especially
if you're saying it out of the most loving place in your heart.
Then y'all are not really friends, or maybe that person just isn't ready to have friends. They have their heads on wrong about what friendship is.
Yeah.
Friendship is not, hey girl, what you doing today? Let's go do this, or let's go do that, or gossiping or whatever. True friendship is being able to hold somebody up on their worst days, and then because you do that, you can celebrate with them on their best days, or vice versa.
Exactly. And that just makes it everything so much more rich when you have all of those experiences together, that space for authenticity on your bad days, then it makes those celebrations even sweeter because you know you were there with that person when they were going through the depths of despair or walking through that shadowy valley.
Yeah.
And then you can celebrate when they get to the mountaintop with the most genuine space in your heart. That's what really love is.
Right. And I feel like always what it comes down to me is self-love.
Yeah.
That for me, that's where my jumping off point is. Because you being the friend who's cared and concerned have to be strong enough to be able to hold up that person.
Right.
And if you're going through so much stuff on your own that you're not able to be there for that person, that's understandable. And so, again, this is going all the way back to yourself. If you want that type of relationship in your life where you can call somebody to the carpet on their crap, whether it be they're sad or they're making decisions that are not healthy for them or their kids or their family, take some time and be that for yourself first.
Right. Exactly. You really must meet your needs before you can really meet others. And it goes back to place your mask on before you put the mask on a child. When we were flying, the airline attendant still had to tell me that. I'm just like, but I know this. But, you know, they still need to be remembered. You have to help yourself before you can help others. So what can you give if you have nothing to give?
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
So you have to have the strength to be able to walk with your sister through her dark time and to know what to do for her. Are you praying for your sister? Mm-hmm. Like, are you even thinking about your sister, sending some love her way? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I really think this idea of friendship, and we can talk about that in a future episode, like what are friends, what are not friends, you know, frenemies, all of that stuff, haters, because it's out there and we need to be able to have a safe space where we can say, I can't do this today.
Right.
I can't do this today. And I think the barometer to know how you're really feeling is when you're alone.
Oh, definitely.
When you're alone. There's been many days where it was my ex's turn to have the kids, and I would spend the entire 2.5 days in my bed. Mm-hmm. And literally my back would be hurting because I was laying down so much and get a headache. If I had some women around me who I allowed to be around me, that probably wouldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. And so how many days are you laying in the bed so long where your back hurts? Mm-hmm. You don't have to do that. You don't have to be laying in the bed like that. You can reach out, but you have to be able to say, hey, I need some help here.
Yeah.
I need some help here because people can't read your mind.
Nobody can read your mind. And I feel like what you're saying doesn't just apply to friendships. It applies to relationships or romantic relationships as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I feel like sometimes it gets really, depending on if you're not nourishing that relationship, then it can be, oh, we just take that person for granted. Although that's just how they are. Or you just start making these assumptions, or they should know because we've been together. No, you still have to speak up. You still have to have the courage to speak up and state your needs. And anyway, this is why community is so, so important.
Right.
Because even in that case, a married couple or a two partners together, they need the outside perspective of other people sometimes to remind themselves of what normal is, how to treat one another, breathe fresh air, not just to stay there between the two of you. So that's a whole other community is so, so important. It's another variety of ways to come into community and what that might look like.
Yeah.
Something just to talk about, one of the ways is that when I moved to this area, we moved from the East Coast here to California. And one of our intentions was to have community in place. And we knew a few people, but they kind of lived different paths. And as I started to try to make my own friends and reach out professionally, I reached into the doula community and found some good friendships there. And one person who was so dear to my heart. But then I got pregnant and I realized I had no other mom friends. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I have all these other cool doula friends, but I don't have any mom friends. And so I have my daughter was 3 or 4 at the time when I got pregnant with my son. And so we started going to the library for story time. And I'm like, well, she would enjoy it or whatever. But I decided to go more consistently because I would see other moms. You would hang out afterwards. There's like a beautiful green area after story time. They would do that or check out books or, you know, have like snacks or whatever. I decided to go to the library to go pick up chicks and just so I could get some mom friends. And those mom friends really embraced me. And we ended up doing homeschool together. And our kids are really big. And they were such a resource because they had been in the area for some time. Some of them had moved there. Some of them were natives. But it was really awesome to have that community. And I always envisioned like, oh, community, everybody knows one another.
Yeah.
But the more time I spent here in this area and the more friends I made from different areas of my life, it ended up being that my community means that, you know, Janisha, you don't know everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, Mama so-and-so, or like Mama Rhonda, doesn't know everybody.
Yeah.
And at one time, I'm like, oh, I should just have like this gathering so I can just bring them all together so they just know, you know, they know each other.
Yeah.
But, you know, that also didn't necessarily need to be necessary.
Yeah. And we talked about that before, like having the Sex in the City friends where all four of us are all friends and we all do everything together.
Right.
That's ideal, but it's not always possible.
Exactly. It's not always possible. I mean, that also sometimes happens in the church community. Yeah. You know, you go to a church, everybody knows each other, and you might be closer to one person than the other. But, you know, even though my family and I are still attending church, we attend a church that it's not like that. You know, and so I have a little bit of a community at church, but they're not interconnected with the other parts of my life, but I still feel like I have the ability to call on any of those women and say, hey, just like now, I'm feeling like this. Just wanted you to know, please check on me. And they will. And I feel really blessed to have that, even though that's so outside of what my ideal would be.
I feel like this is good. This is another, you know, necessary conversation. And we're going to continue to talk about the stuff that people are not talking about. You know, in order to heal this problem, we need to have some practical solutions. And we kind of already touched on those, but the issue is the need or the problem is having these mental health issues and lack of community and no childcare, et cetera, et cetera. But the solutions is internal change. Yeah. And an external change. And some practical ways to do the internal care is admitting that you need help.
Yeah.
And then being able to accept help.
Yeah.
And I feel like as Black women, that word strong, it's either we're strong or angry.
Right. It's so stigmatizing.
It's just like, no, we're not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We might appear strong, but we're suffering with these problems.
Right. Right.
I go to open mic monthly that my cousin runs. If you live here in the Inland Empire and you want to come and join, we always have conversation around topics like this. And then we have an open mic session once a month. Follow me on Instagram so that you can keep up with it. But we just had another open mic on Friday and we were talking about go to therapy.
Yeah.
Like my women of color. Go to therapy. Like, we are dealing with trauma daily.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Daily.
And that's what's affecting part of our birth disparities.
Like,
but yes.
Daily.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, sisters, like, really sit down and think. Do you have a traumatic experience either from your relationship, from your home life, from your job, from interactions with people daily? I'm pretty sure a lot of people would say yes.
Well, that's if they would classify them as such.
Right.
If they talk about it, even they might say no. But
they might say no, but
if you talk about it, you're upset, that's traumatizing.
Yeah.
That's traumatizing.
Think, like, just sit with yourself. And I feel like we don't sit with ourselves. We just keep going and going. We are not Energizer bunnies. We are not batteries. We are human beings. And we have to deal with it.
Yeah.
And this is how diseases start popping up. This is how the high blood pressure comes, the eating disorders, the bad habits, all of that are because we're not dealing and coping with the trauma that we're experiencing daily, every day.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to say, hey, raise my hand. I'm not dealing very well with this. I'm not coping with this very well. I need help, and then accepting help. And then on an external basis, some practical solutions to this problem of not having a tribe is creating that. You have to get out there and make it happen if that's what you want. And that's what Deidre and I have created with each other. We have other women who want to be involved, but I physically want us to get a place, a compound where we can all live together. We don't all have to necessarily live in the same house, but living in an area and having like a tribal communal lifestyle is what I would like. But whatever kind of community, whatever your imagination has, whatever's in your head, bring it to life. That's what you are as a human. You're a creator. Make it happen.
Right.
So, you know, you could create a Facebook group. You can create a mom group. If you like to cook, have a cooking class over to your house once a month.
Or even find one in your community.
Right, that you mm-hmm. can go to visit. Like Deidre went to the library and was like hunting for moms in the library. Whatever it is that you like to do, just go. Like, I love this open mic thing. Through going to the open mic, we're having a Black Love town hall meeting. And I mentioned that last week in that I was like, we should do that. I'm also hosting, along with some other women, a women's wellness day conference called Living Your Best Life. So it's like these things that are in my head that I feel like are missing in the community. I'm connecting with other like-minded people and we're making this ish happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can do the same thing.
Yeah.
Whether it just be you and three other women, we go walk around the mall together, once a week or whatever. Something that's going to get you outside of yourself to help healing and fixing those issues that you have in your life. Some exactly. support.
Yeah. I mean, and it is so hard sometimes. No, it is so hard, period, to sometimes have the courage to be authentic, the courage to be vulnerable and really put yourself out there and say, hey, this is who I am.
Right.
You know, the only thing that everybody wants is to feel that love and acceptance.
Right.
That's the only thing everybody wants.
Yeah.
And we do so much to protect ourselves from rejection. We do so many things to foster what we think will bring acceptance.
Right.
But really, just being who you are, being yourself, there are people out there. There is a tribe out there for you.
Yeah.
And doesn't have to be like Real Housewives of Potomac or anything like that. It can be true, authentic relationships and true, authentic a village or a tribe, whatever word resonates, or true, authentic community is what I'm really looking for. And you can find that. That's what everybody really wants.
Yeah.
They want that love and they want that acceptance. And that's going to come through being brave, through vulnerability and your authenticity, because we can have that connection. We were created to have that connection.
I
really believe that.
And also too, don't get me wrong, I've had to go through a few people before I found my Deidre.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I want to find more women who I connect with the way that I connect with you. And I know it won't be the same, but I mean,
that type of relationship.
And so, I've gotten my feelings hurt by friends plenty of times, but guess what? It helped me to build my character and for me to be a better friend.
Right.
Like, oh no, I don't want to go through that again. So let me like slow down in this way, or let me be better in that way. All of this stuff that you're going through is to help you be a better person, to be a better you.
Yeah.
To love to be you. Yes, I just did plug myself.
That's all right.
And that's why I can plug myself, because I have learned that that's what it all comes down to.
Yeah.
Loving to be you. Being able to say, okay, I'm not going to take this personal. Again, back to our episode where we talked about the four agreements. If somebody burns you, don't take it personal. Figure out what you could learn from it and move on to the next, because eventually you will get your yes.
Yes.
You will get your yes. And then you will be so happy to finally have had done the work to get what you want and create the life and the lifestyle that you want.
Mm-hmm.
So
thanks for coming to the Queen's Chambers.
Yes.
It's time for our Queen's Quote, our new segment in this season. Our new quote today comes from Mark Groves. Mark Groves says, "You are not broken. You're human. It's normal to feel loss and not have a clue what you're doing. The point of life is to learn and grow, not to be perfect. Have compassion for your journey." And this really spoke to us today and compelled us to share it with you, because it kind of goes back to this community thing.
Yeah.
And it's just like when we ended on our Queen's Chambers, it's going to take time to grow it. It's not going to be perfect right out of the gate. And really, is anything ever 100% perfect? But having that compassion, having that love for yourself, and giving yourself that grace as you grow that is what's going to help lead you towards that community. And even sometimes communities can be built out of finding others who have suffered that loss.
Yeah.
We are afraid to hide those sad, hard parts of ourselves, because like, who wants to know about the miscarriage, or mm-hmm. who cares about the emotional abuse, or who's going to love me again if I've gone through, you know, whatever, fill in the blank yeah. of that negative situation or that perceived negative situation. Those pieces make us stronger. Somebody read, I'm going to paraphrase this quote, those particular trials and tribulations help to open us up and break us open so the light can shine through.
Right.
And if you let that light shine through, that light will attract other lights that have either had similar experiences or attract people who want to know how to move through what you've moved through.
Yeah.
And this is where we can also find community.
Yeah. I love it.
Where can the people find us, J. Nicole?
So the people can find us on Instagram, the Queen Team Podcast. You can shoot us an email. Let us know if you have an episode idea or a question at thequeenteampodcast@gmail.com. You can also visit our website to listen to all of our episodes at thequeenteampodcast.com.
Awesome. And I want to know where we can find you online.
You can find me, if you are looking for a doula.
Dum, dum, dum.
And if you're looking for support, if you've been in an emotionally abusive relationship, you can find me on Instagram at lovetobeyou. And that's spelled L-U-V for love and then T-O-B-E-Y-O-U. You can also find me at lovetobeyou.com, where you can see a list of my services, my doula services. And you can email me. I have a new email address that corresponds with my website at janisha@lovetobeyou.com.
And Janisha is J-A-N-I-S-H-A.
Yes. And I love you all. I'm so glad to be back in front of the mic. I've been missing this. So thank you for listening, you guys. And of course, thank you, Deidre, for making this happen. You really did make this happen.
It's pretty exciting. Thank you, cuties.
Bye, cuties.
Bye.